Hey everybody, welcome to the first episode of the Psalm Summer Podcast. In case you don't recognize my voice, or maybe you don't know who I am, my name is Landon Fleming, and I'm one of the pastors at Christian Life, and I'm excited to host this podcast over the next several weeks. Today's episode, it's more of an intro. It's an intro into why we're doing this podcast. There's actually a couple reasons why. On Sundays, during a sermon, I'm sure before you've heard maybe Pastor Ron say, maybe you've heard me say, you've probably heard the phrase, there's so much more I could say on this topic. Or, man, this topic could be 10 more sermons, or we could spend a year on this topic. Or maybe something like, this chapter in the Bible, if we broke it up, it could be 5 different sermons in and of itself. And that's the purpose of this podcast. It's simply to make space to bring more of these ideas and take the conversation further from the sermon. And so you can call it a bonus content if you want, or just taking, like I said, the conversation further. So that's what this podcast is all about. It's just being able to have a spot to continue on what the sermon talks about. But there's another reason, too, behind the creation of this podcast. Man, there's so many times where a few of us staff members are sitting around a table, or a few people from church, you know, we're all sitting around a table grabbing coffee together, and the conversation's amazing. The different perspectives, the insights, even the stories that somebody may share. I know for me, I've just walked away going, man, that was awesome. That was incredible. Sometimes life-changing or faith-building, or I'm so encouraged by what I just talked about. And so many times has somebody said, walking away from those tables, man, I wish our entire church family could be sitting around the table with us to hear this conversation. I wish the church could be a fly on the wall and just tune into what we just talked about so they could be encouraged or strengthened so their faith could be built up like ours was. And so that's the why behind this podcast. So over the summer, it's not just going to be me sharing on the podcast. We're going to have many more guests sitting around the metaphorical table of this podcast. And the goal is just to have raw conversation. And please know that what you get on this podcast is what you get. We're not trying to make the conversation heavily edited. We're not clipping pieces together for redos or fumbled words. If there's a long pause or somebody says something wrong, we're not going to start over. Here we are. We're actually recording this podcast in Pastor Sean's house. And he lives close to the church. So if you hear, like you maybe do on a Sunday morning, the fire truck alarm go off as they come down Kaysen Lane, we're not going to stop for that. The goal here is just to have real, raw conversation. And for you as the listener to feel like you're here with us around the table listening in. And so over the summer, we're excited. We're excited to have several different voices join me on this podcast. Some you may know. And some you may not. But with the first episode here, it's just me and you. So like I say sometimes in a sermon, imagine we're just sitting together, just me and you as a listener, and we're just at the table having a conversation today. So if you're at church on Sunday, Pastor Ron kicked off the Psalm series, and he took us through Psalms chapter 1. And each psalm, as you read them and as we will see this summer, they have so much truth about the character of God, who he is, and who we are, even who we're not. And I'm so excited to pull these truths out of the text this summer. And what amazes me is that each of these psalms, they were worship songs of the time. The congregation of Israel, God's people, as they gathered together like we do, as we gather for our church services, as they gathered together, what they would sing were these psalms. Pastor Sean said the other day, the book of Psalms was like the hymn book of Israel. These were the songs that they sang together. And so who knows what the melodies sounded like? Who knows what the instruments sounded like? Who knows if it was a fast beat with the drums going and people dancing? Who knows if maybe some of them were slow ballad-type songs that make you just want to pour out your heart and kneel before the Lord? So we don't know what they sounded like, but here's what we do know. here's what I can confidently say without a doubt, is that as these people sang these songs together corporately, the presence of God showed up in a powerful way. As these individuals sang these songs, as they gathered together collectively as a group of individuals under the name of Yahweh, of God, the God of Israel, they would sing these songs filled with the truth of who God is and who they were. And without a doubt, in my mind, the special presence of God would show up. And God was glorified, and his people were blessed and changed by his presence. And so this is what the corporate gatherings looked like. If I just had to guess, again, I don't know what it sounded like, but I could guess what happened. And the presence of God would show up in their corporate gatherings. Well, let's take it a step further. I'd be willing to bet that as God's people individually walked through life, as they worked their jobs, as they prepared their food, as they traveled through the city, walking along through life, I bet they would find themselves singing these psalms just by themselves. Or maybe as they gathered around the table with their family, as they prepared meals with their family, or as they sat together doing whatever it was they would do in the evening, I bet occasionally individuals or families would sing these psalms together. And as they sang, it would remind them of the truth, again, of who God is and who they are. And so whether it was singing in the corporate gatherings with God's people or individually singing, both of these spaces were worshipful environments where God was glorified through the singing of these psalms, of these songs. The hymn book of Israel is the book of Psalms. And so I hope you're seeing this with me, because our heart for every single person at Christian Life is that you would experience the transforming presence of God through singing corporately and individually. So in the almost 13 years of being at Christian Life, I can't tell you how many times I've heard Pastor Ron say that his heart for our church is that we would all become a worshiper, to be worshipers of Jesus, to be a lover of worship and sing to the Lord. I know Pastor Ron has modeled that so well throughout the years, at least me being there. And so consider this podcast, as you listen in wherever you are, a prophetic call back to worship, to be a worshiper. So brother or sister in Christ, I pray that you would come back, or maybe come for the first time, to a place in your life, in your walk with Jesus, where you love to sing, where you love to worship God. And that's the heart behind this podcast. That's the heart behind this Summer Psalms sermon series. It's a call back to worship, to sing and express your love for our King through corporate singing at church, like Sundays, like worship nights, but also individually, when you're in your car, when you're alone, that you are a worshiper. And I can't say it enough. I can't echo Pastor Ron enough. Become a worshiper. Because here's the thing. When you become a worshiper, it puts God back in his rightful place. How many of you know we need this daily? At least I do. I know some mornings I wake up where last night I was on fire for Jesus, and I wake up the next morning and now I feel in my heart my faith is weak, or I don't feel like reading the Bible, or I don't feel like going to church, or I don't feel like sharing my faith. But when you're a worshiper, worship puts God back in his rightful place, and it puts us in our rightful place. I would go as far as to say it puts our situations in life back in their rightful place. And I've heard it said by many teachers that worship at its core is attention. It's what you gaze on. It's what your focus is on. And if I'm not careful, I will worship, or I will give my attention to myself or my situations or my feelings or my problems. But when I worship or give my attention to the Lord, it doesn't mean my problems or situations disappear necessarily, but it does mean that my gaze is on the Lord, whom I can trust to strengthen me. My gaze is on the one who can give me power to overcome, or who can sustain me. I think of Psalms 23, where David wrote, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear evil because I know he's with me." Again, what David's not saying is, I never walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's saying, I do. But because my gaze is on the Lord, my good shepherd, my focus is on him, I don't have to fear evil because I know he is with me. So become a worshiper. Men, women, young, old, the beautiful voices and the tone deaf alike, all are called to be worshipers of Jesus. And so this is the heart of our summer-long conversation. And I pray little by little the Holy Spirit would transform you to lean into this reality and power of being a worshiper of God. Now you may ask, what does that look like? What does that mean? Do I have to join the worship team? Do I have to start dancing or jumping in worship or something like that? Well, no. But over the summer, this is what we're just going to talk about. We're going to unpack and we're going to help you see. And one thing I've noticed lately in a lot of different podcasts and a lot of different sermons from other pastors across the country, I've heard a lot from influential voices that I listen to. Something I've noticed is there's a unique and unified, I would say, prophetic call being spoken. All of these voices are prophetically calling God's people, the church, and the language I've heard used is they're calling people back to the heart of David and away from the heart of Saul. It's been very interesting. Many different podcasts that I really don't see, you know, sharing information. They're in different parts of the country, but they're all using the same language, a call back to the heart of David and away from the heart of Saul within God's people. And it's caused me, as I listen, to wonder, is this a prophetic call to the church from God? Is God really sharing a prophetic word to his church back to a heart of David and away from a Saul-like heart? And so let me explain what this means. So go on this journey with me. We're comparing King Saul to King David. And in the Old Testament, Saul was the first king of Israel. And the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, it was actually left in the hands of the enemy. The Ark was not with God's people, it was with somebody else. And as king of Israel, the people of God, you would think that Saul, as king, would do everything he could to properly bring the presence of God back. But he didn't. And a long story short, he did things against the way the Lord would call him to. He actually leaves the Ark. And why did he do this? Well, it's because he was king of Israel. He was king. And really what he was showing is he was king of his own heart. And he wanted people to see him, to worship him. Really what he was showing is his heart was self-focused. The attention was on Saul. He wanted the glory. And so what you see here is a picture of having a Saul-like heart, self-focused, all about me. Glory belongs to me. Look at what I've done. But then David steps in as king. Again, you can read this 1 and 2 Samuel. But David steps in as king, and his first order of business as king, to get the ark back, to bring the presence of God back to the heart of God's people. And after some hiccups, after somebody disrespected the presence of God and the holiness of God, they literally die right there on the spot, which made David throw a temper tantrum. Which isn't it kind of comforting to see that the guy restoring the presence of God back to the city, the man after God's own heart, got mad at God and threw a temper tantrum? I don't know. I find that comforting because sometimes I might do the same. I'm glad I'm not the only one, David, that sometimes gets mad at God, throws a fit. But after some time, what we see is David gets over it pretty quickly, and the journey continues. His first mission, bring back the presence of God. And so men carry the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant. And what's interesting is Scripture says every six steps, they stop and they worship. They worship God by making a sacrifice to him. So think about that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps. Stop, and worship. And many biblical scholars and people who knew the geographical layout of how this would all be, they have estimated that the travel would be several miles that they would walk, which would have been thousands and thousands of steps. And just think about how long that would be. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 steps. We would stop and we'd worship. They would worship the Lord in reverence and awe. And eventually, as every 6 steps, they would stop and worship. Again, just showing the heart of David, the awe, the reverence now of the holiness and majesty of God. And on David's coronation day as king, when in reality he should have been carried in by men on a king's stand, while the people celebrated and threw a party, while there is a parade, as everyone awaits the new king's entry, the people look, knowing what was happening. This is coronation day. This is David's day. And as the parade goes, all of a sudden people look and they see David dancing in the street. People say he was dancing in his kingly underwear in the street. And people are like, what? Isn't that King David? Isn't he supposed to be king? And in the parade, it continues on. There's David in the street. I could imagine people confused. And here come the men. And on their shoulders is not David, but the Ark of the Covenant. And it was almost as if David was saying, there's our king. There's your king, not me. That's our king. And this was David restoring back to God's people, putting right back in the heart of the city of God. The presence of God was restored back right there in the middle of everything. And what would go on to happen is 24/7 worship would take place during David's reign as king. And so I tell you these two radically different stories of Saul and David, and I wonder if you see the differences in these two. You had Saul was self-focused, me-focused. He wanted the glory. But David was God-focused. He wanted the Lord to get the glory. And there's a call to the church back to the heart of David as it pertains to worship. And so here's really what this means to us. It's for too long, churches have made corporate worship times and corporate church gatherings about everything but the presence of God. When it becomes only about programs or only about lights or only about sound, or only about singing my favorite worship songs, or only about the sound quality, or only about style preferences, or only about a good job, or only about doing a really, really good Sunday service. And when it becomes about all of those things at the expense of bringing the Lord glory and the focus being on Him, something's wrong. Now, what I'm not saying is I'm not speaking against lights or sound quality or musical styles or expressions. I'm not speaking against any of those things. In fact, I believe those are ways that we Christians can express creativity. It's, you know, throughout church history, it was referred to as Christian beauty, ways that Christians could express their creativity, their worship to God. And these were just ways in which we can do that. I would say Christians should be the most creative people in the world. Creativity belongs to God. And so should creative expression. So we can't take the other extreme that says all of those things are in and of themselves wrong. That's the other extreme. But what we see happening, and I again believe the prophetic call is to be careful. And if we could, because if we're not careful, church gatherings can become only about what's in it for me at the expense of bringing the glory to God. A Saul-like heart says, what can I get out of worship today? Are we going to sing my favorite songs? Are we going to worship the way I like? Or I don't like the lights, or I don't like the way it sounds, or I don't like the way that person dresses, or I don't like the way their voice sounds, or I don't have time to worship God. I have a schedule, or I don't, there's a common one, I don't sing. That's not for me. All of these things could be different manifestations of a Saul-like heart. And so I pray the Holy Spirit would allow me and allow you to see, is this present in our life? And perhaps the prophetic call to all of us is to come back to a David-like heart of worship, where worship is not about me, but it's about the King of Glory. He is King. Where I'm coming to church today, or I'm coming to this gathering today, this small group, this worship night, this prayer group, or whatever the gathering could be, or I'm coming to service on Sunday to bring a sacrifice of worship and praise to Jesus. Church, yes, it's about equipping the saints, and yes, it's about reaching the lost, but supreme to those things, church gatherings are chiefly about bringing glory to God. This is why, this is the heart of Christian life. Glory to God. You hear it all the time. Bring glory to God. Glory to God. Honor and worship belong to Him. And so corporately in our gatherings, the chief main purpose is to bring glory to Him. But then think about this too. Your life as an individual, yes, it's about many things. But supreme to all of those things is to bring glory to God. And so I'm just echoing this prophetic call of many voices that I hear lately. I'm an echo of this prophetic call to lay down the Saul-like tendencies in your heart, for church congregations to lay down Saul-like tendencies, for individual Christians to lay down Saul-like tendencies in our heart and come back to a heart of David where worship and glory belongs to God. And so as we come to the end of this episode today, I just want to read you Psalm 24. Perhaps this is the psalm you can study for your Psalms challenge, Pastor Ron mentioned in his sermon on Sunday, where he said, read it, write it, meditate on it, memorize it, and live it. I hope that you do this over the summer, that you take this challenge and you really dig in every day to a psalm and commit to memorization and living out what you're reading and meditating on God's word. And so Psalm 24, let me read some of it. This is a psalm of David where he says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein, for he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Selah. And that word Selah, in case you don't know, it means pause and reflect on what was just said. Or I guess in that time, pause and reflect on what was just saying. Only those with clean hands and a pure heart, who don't lift up their soul to what is false, can ascend the hill of the Lord. Which, okay, think about that. That's none of us. None of us can do that. None of us can truly say that that is us. We don't meet those requirements, which is exactly why there was one, Jesus Christ, who died on the hill to make us clean, to make us pure by his blood. And so now in him, we can ascend the hill of the Lord and receive blessing from God. We can seek his face. Really what this is saying is we can enter into the presence of God and to meet with him face to face. Praise the Lord. And so the psalm finishes, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. And the question is again, who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. So David writes, who's the king? Not me. It's the Lord. Yahweh, the one true God, the God of Israel. He is king. And so my response is, Yahweh, the Lord of glory. He is king. He's king over our church. He's king over you. He's king over me. He's king over nation of our nation. He's king over the world. And today I pray, as you're listening, wherever you are, that, man, would you set some time aside to bring the King, to bring Him glory through your singing and your worship. I think of the song we sing a lot at church, Jesus, You Alone by Highlands Worship, where the lyrics, they echo this psalm. It says, who is the great King of glory, seated on high in the heavens? Jesus. Jesus, You Alone. Amen. Well, that's my heart today. I pray that wherever you are, maybe you're in the car, or maybe I caught you during a workout today, or maybe you listened with a family member, wherever you may be, I pray my challenge today on this podcast is to set aside some time and just pick a worship song. Man, there's so many. And just dedicate 5 minutes to just singing and worshiping the Lord and putting Him in His rightful place, rejecting the Saul-like tendency in our hearts that says, I'm too busy, or I have many other things to do, or we make everything about self. May we, by the Holy Spirit, take on the heart of David and pour out our praise upon the King. And we can't wait to gather again on Sunday. Make sure to be there. Things are going to actually be a little bit different on Sunday. It's going to be really fun. Not going to tell you what that is. Hopefully that makes you all the more want to come on Sunday and come and see. But going forward, we're going to do this every week throughout the summer. And can't wait to have some awesome guests join me around the metaphorical table of this podcast as we just seek to have conversation around what this really looks like to come back to a heart of David and worship. And love you guys, and hope you have a great week, and thanks for listening.